Hi, I'm an alcoholic. My name is Roy. And by the grace of a loving and merciful God, I have not found it necessary to take a drink today. And I haven't found it necessary to take a drink since the 22nd of April, 1990. And for that, I'm very grateful. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings, and humility is not something that I'm big on. So God gave me plenty of opportunities today. I left Brooklyn at 5:15 and I got here at 10 to 7. The Belt Parkway has a way of bringing all my character defects, right? You know, 10 times a week for the last 3 years, I can't tell you the number of murders I've committed in my mind. In my mind! Murder and adultery are the two things I commit in my mind now. The stealing and stuff, I still find myself taking papers home from the office and staplers and stuff like that. So, it's a shortcoming, you know. So I was just looking at these steps and to quickly review what I've done up to here. And I did touch on step 7 last week, but they put 7, 8, and 9, knowing that I would have plenty more character defects to work on between last Tuesday and now. So, step 1, you know, I came to AA, and how do I know I have a problem? Thank God for America's greatest export. You know, you guys found the solution, you put it down in a book, and exported it all over the world. All we had to do was open the book and follow directions. How do I know I have a problem? Page 44. If when I honestly want to, I find I cannot stop entirely, or if while drinking, I have little control, I'm probably alcoholic. Really? Is there any way to find out? Yeah, page 31. Step over to the nearest bar room and try some controlled drinking. Or any other ways? Yeah, also on 31. Changing jobs, changing environments, changing brands, changing friends. Isn't there an easier way? Yeah, page 33. Just try and quit. That didn't work. Okay, page 34. Quit for 1 year. 1 year. That didn't work either. Okay. What about a medical solution? Doctor's opinion. You know, page Roman numeral 26, where he says, you're doomed. There is no treatment. No, listen. Don't laugh. This guy wrote it in like 1939. He said, I'm doomed. And then he said, it has never been by any treatment with which we are familiar permanently eradicated. What do they know in 1939? So then I went back to page 31 where it said there's actually been no way to find a cure for alcoholism, and science may one day accomplish this, but it hasn't done so yet. Holy cow. That was 1939. We put a man on the moon. We've explored Mars. We even found some other planet which is unreachable with our limited mechanical means, but could probably support life. They'll just die by the time they get there. So, I accepted that I'm completely unmanageable. Came to step 2, and on page 46 and 47, they outlined that for me. They said, are you willing to believe in a power greater than yourself? They're not talking about God. Just a power greater than yourself. And after struggling in AA for 6 years, I was finally willing. The power that I was willing to believe in was this group and my sponsor. And what was my willingness in step 3? Whatever he told me to do, I did. Step 4, the first time around, I wrote a whole story. I talked about it last time, and you know, I wish I had kept it, could have sold it, made some money, been on Oprah and stuff like that. But then I would have to be anonymous. You can't make money with a paper bag over your head. And in step 5, and the second time I did a fourth step, I used the directions in the big book, and I found those simple and very, very enlightening. You know, we talked about the resentments, whom I was angry at, and how they affected my life. He looked at my mistakes. People used to tell me to look for my part. I looked at that book so carefully. There's nothing about my part. It says, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely look for our own mistakes. So Mr. X did this to me. There's no part. Now, what did I ever do to Mr. X ever in his life? That's what it says on page 67. And wow, I did a heck of a lot of things which have nothing to do with parts or spare parts or anything of the sort. So I did that. You know, I looked at fear. You know, why did I have the fear? Did self-reliance fail me? Did self-confidence make it worse? And what is the solution? We asked God to remove the fear and direct our attention to what He would have me be, not do. What would He have me be? You know, a member of Alcoholics Anonymous who's trying his best to follow the will of God. That's it. And in step five, you know, and then the sex inventory, which I thought, oh my God, it wasn't. It was about my conduct. You know, where was I selfish? Where was I withholding? Where was I demanding? Where had I cheated on relationships? And that wasn't that difficult an inventory to make. And out of that came my an ideal, what I would strive for. And it's been difficult, but one keeps striving for that. And then the last inventory was the harms inventory. People have harmed. Many of the names on that inventory came from the resentments, the fear, and the sex. But some were completely unrelated, like my dear grandmother, who I didn't resent, I didn't fear, and thank God I never had sex with her. But I didn't. I swear, I didn't. But I did steal her jewelry, and so she got onto my harms list. And so that was really clear cut. And then the worst part was AA said, well, if you've done all this, you've swallowed some chunks of truth about yourself, but you've only made a beginning. A beginning? 71 pages and this is just a beginning? What do I do next? I look for somebody that I can tell this to. And there's really, you know, in the inventory, there's two bits to it. One is where I'm going to tell the sponsor the exact nature of my wrongs. The selfishness, the greed, the lust. But the other part is where it says I have to tell somebody else all my life story. And then, you know, whoever wrote this book, they said, the best reason first. If you don't do this, you won't overcome drinking. I spent many years looking for the next best reason. They only give one reason. And they say the best reason, like, there's this suspense. They're going to show you four or five more reasons. There's only one reason. So I told my sponsor everything. He knew. He knows everything about me. I've had one, two, three, four sponsors in my life. The first one's in India. The next two died. And the one I have now lives a couple of blocks from my house. And I see him maybe once or two or three months, if I'm lucky. But all these four guys know everything about my life. And then we came to steps 6, 7, 8, and 9. So at the end of my fourth step, I had a whole list of defects of character. You know, at some point I thought my entire character was defective, but pride, greed, laziness, and a whole lot that are not even in the big book. Big shotism, grandiosity, you know, putting people down, sneakiness, manipulation. Apart from the lying and cheating and taking the papers home from the office along with the staples and other such things. And I had asked my sponsor, what's the difference between a defect of character and a shortcoming? And he said, well, identifying all these defects, now you know what's wrong with you. Not doing anything about it is a shortcoming. Ah, okay. But he said, in truth, Bill W. studied English, and he was always taught that if you want to say the same thing in two successive sentences, you just use different words. It's basically the same thing. But here the bad news was, you know, how to... Yeah, this is bad news. What my sponsor pointed out to me from my own relapse experience of 6 years, that it was my defects of character that drove my actions. And my actions were what the normal public related, that's what they reacted to. And they reacted to my actions by cutting my pay, or firing me, or dumping me, or taking away my freedom for the weekend, you know, or insisting that I pay, or making me turn out my pockets, you know, things like that. And then I would resent their reactions. So my defects of character would cause people to react, and I would resent that. And then, you know, I don't know about you guys, but when I get resentment, I go home and I pour myself a good stiff one and I start planning revenge. Because revenge doesn't happen. I drink too much, wake up in my own urine again the next morning, and then I'm late again, and then people start reacting to my actions again. And so my defects of character were really what were driving all my relapses. And the bad news, I finally got to it, was that I didn't have the power to do anything about it. And this was really enlightening for me, because in the 6 years that I'd been loitering around AA, I had been given some really helpful lists printed out by treatment centers in the Midwest. And I'm not knocking treatment centers. I work for one myself. But, you know, I would get this whole list of defects of character. And on the other side would be the opposite virtues. And then I would be told, okay, just go and do that and that'll take care of this. So here I was using willpower. Oh, I forgot. I didn't have any willpower. It's practically non-effective. So I'm using willpower to try and practice being honest when basically my character is dishonest. And so the dishonest part of my character would always win, and I would steal the paper and the staplers and the what have you. Then I'd be consumed by guilt. Then I tried to avoid, you know, looking at you while I'm walking into work, just in case, you know, you knew it was me and you might ask. And if you ask, what do I need to say? And I'm just using the staples and papers as an example, because our story is described in a general way, not in a specific way. And I did work at the airport for many years, and papers and staples were not the only things I took home. So I didn't have the power. And I kept trying and I kept failing and I kept drinking. And when we came to this step, my sponsor said, you know, and I'd shared this with you, and at this point, the first time I came up to step 7, I was still operating on the, if there is a God, please remove, you know, please keep me sober today. And my sponsor said, well, we're going to learn a new prayer today. Now you're going to say, if there is a God, please remove my defects of character and keep me sober. And if you're still sober, you got absolutely no power. Absolutely no power to remove the defects of character. Now, what's the use of saying this prayer? How do I know that God is removing these defects of character? He said, he'll give you plenty of opportunities, you know, to not practice them. And I tell you, I work in Brooklyn. I drive on the Belt Parkway 10 times a week. I get plenty of opportunities to practice my favorite, or not practice my favorite defects. You know, I'm always running late. So then I'm breaking the law because I'm going over the speed limit. You know, then I'm getting angry because other people are going faster than me. And then other people are texting and driving. And, you know, how dare they text and drive, but then I'm texting and driving. Bro, it's okay, I'm in AA. You know? So I get a lot of opportunities, and then I work, you know, and then I want people to do my will, you know, and then I work, like I said, at a treatment center, and people come in, and, you know, we are talking about the power of 12-step recovery. No, I don't need AA, it doesn't work. You know, take the guy, pow, it does work. Yes, sir, you're right. There's perhaps a better way. Why don't you step over to the nearest bar and try some controlled drink? I do that a lot at work, you know. And they're looking at me like, I said, no, what you're trying to propose is the harm reduction model, and go out and try it, man. And if it works, good for you. You know, So I had to unwillingly make this request. And for me, it's about asking. It's God, please. Over time, I did come to believe in a power greater than myself. And today, when I say this prayer, I say, please. I don't exactly say the 7-step prayer as it is in the book, you know. My creator, what is it? I ask that you now remove every single defect of... I can't remember half of it. But I say, God, please remove the defects because it's going to get me into trouble. And that's usually good enough, as long as I end with, thy will be done. And from that same 4-step inventory, I now had this list of people that I had to make amends to. And step 8 talks about willingness, and step 9 talks about action. So when we were sitting there in my apartment that day at the end of the 4th step and 5th step with my sponsor, we had this list of amends which he said I had to make. And here's how we did the 8th step. We went over each amend on that list and he said, are you willing to make this? Yes or no? And if I said yes, he just put a W next to it. And if I said no, he put a UW next to it. Unwilling. Willing and unwilling. Went down my list and that was it. Willing, unwilling. He said, for all these amends that you're unwilling to make, you start praying for the willingness. That's all. If there's a God, please. You know, there was a lot of this if business. And I'm really glad that shortly after that I did come to believe. And just made the prayers easier at that point. But I had that list of those that I was unwilling to make amends to. And I started praying for the willingness. And that's all I had to do. Just ask for the willingness. And for those that I was willing to do, they fell into a number of different categories. You know, there were some people that I had to make financial amends to. I didn't have enough money to make the amend. I would have liked nothing better to walk up to the people I owed money. Here's your money and, you know. But I've never ever had that opportunity to make any amend that way. It's always been an opportunity to be from step 7 humbly. So we went over the list. There were some financial amends I had to make. There were family amends I had to make. There were some social amends I had to make. You know, I vomited in buses and, you know, I've destroyed public property. And there are ways to do that. There's some amends which I was willing to make, but it was an impossibility. You know, I used to work for an airline called Transworld Airlines, and they're not around anymore. But I always went to work hungover. I never gave them a fair 40 hours of work a week. How do you make amends for a company that's no longer around? So that's how my sponsor helped me. He said, from this point onwards going forward, whatever company you work for, you know, when your 8 hours are up, you punch the clock. And if you haven't finished your work, you sit your backside down again and complete the work. And you don't bill them. What? Yeah. That's how you're going to make amends to all those people you cheated out of. I'm still doing that. You know, I take work home and, you know. So that was that. So for the ones I was willing, he came with me, my sponsor came with me for the first couple of amends. Just to make sure that I was actually going to go and pay the money back. You know, in the 9th step it says, in 9 times out of 10 the unexpected happens. And it did happen for me. In 9 times out of 10, people would accept my amend. We'd work out the best deal I could, $5 a week or $10 a month or whatever it was. And in most cases, the amends were accepted. There was one case where this guy said, okay, good for you. I'm glad you're not drinking again. And thanks for your apology and for the $50. And I don't ever want to see you again. Oh boy, did that hurt. No, you don't understand. I'm in AA. You're supposed to accept this amend. You're supposed to roll out the red carpet. You're supposed to tell 50 other people what a great guy I am because I came and cleaned up my past. Oh, man. You know, he's still not talking to me. He lives in Australia. But my pride, character defect, still makes me try to make some half-hearted reaching out amends every 3 or 4 years or so to see if I can win him back into my Roy's a great guy list. Thank God, God's in charge of my life now, so it hasn't happened. One amend which was quite a pleasant surprise was very early in my amends process. As I had said, I was working for this film company and I had a motorcycle accident which almost killed me. And 2 or 3 months later, I finally got sober. And I had an amend to make to this company because I was the production manager and basically there's a whole lot of things. So I went with my sponsor. I had saved maybe about $1,000 and I had to pay them about 18 grand. And I went to make this amend, and I told them I was in AA, and you know, the day I had the motorcycle accident, I was not sober. I was high on alcohol and some other stuff. And I confessed the lie. I said there was no cow crossing the street. You know, and I'm making these amends, and they're sitting there smiling and saying, "We know. We know." But, you know, I'd wrecked the motorcycle, which was rented. They had to pay for that. Then there was a hospital bill, the hotel bill, my bar tab, and also the airfare back to Bombay, and the specialists. So, you know, I did the best I could, and they said, you know, I have $1,000 now, and I got a small job, and I'll pay something every month. And they said, okay, make sure, see the accountant on your way out. I said, okay. So we chatted a little more, and I went out to see the accountant, and he hands me a check for $5,000. And I said, what's this? I owe 18. So the thing was, I had gone down a week in advance, and although I had been drinking and doing all sorts of other illegal stuff, I had prepared everything for the film shoot. So when the crew arrived the day after my accident, they were able to shoot the next 4 or 5 weeks. My assistant was able to just do everything. So he just deducted the expenses were and paid me the difference as though I worked. So that was really great. None of the other people were ever so kind. But the reason that was so great, and that was one of the first amends that I made, was because that kind of gave me a little cushion to be able to make some of the other amends. And for that, I was really grateful. They said, you know, on page 58, you know, before I even started this process, they said, if you have decided, Roy, that you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then you're really ready to take certain steps. I wanted what you guys had. I'd been coming to AA for six years. You guys were counting months and years and decades, and I couldn't even get to 30 days. So I did want sobriety. I did want a better life. I did want to be able to sleep well at night. I did want the peace and serenity that I see on the faces now of my friends in recovery. And I said, I'll do anything. So my sponsor reminded me of that. He said, you said you'd be willing to go to any lengths. Now here, I owed amends to a guy who had moved to Singapore. I still had to pay my grandmother back and tell her about all that. She had moved to Australia. And I had to make amends to my sister who was living in San Francisco. I said, this really sucks. I mean, can't I just write a letter to them? And he said, no. Family amends, you know, are really difficult. He said, but face to face wherever possible. So, well, the good news is you're not drinking anymore. You're not doing any of the other stuff anymore. So you're saving a lot of money. And by the grace of God, within 9 months of recovery, I was able to save enough for a round-the-world ticket. And I went out to make those amends. And Singapore was easy. Australia was really hard. I was there for 6 weeks. I did not have the courage to make that amend till probably 2 o'clock in the morning, woke my poor grandmother up, you know, creating more problems to make the amend, and my flight was like at 6 in the morning. But that poor lady, you know, she was just happy that I made the amend. You know, her brother was the fourth person to get sober in India in 1957, and he just recently died a couple of years ago with over 50 years of recovery. And she was really happy that that I had got honest. And so those are some of the exciting amends I did that time around, except when to do so would injure them or others. And there are some amends which I have not been able to make. They usually involve other people's relationships. They usually involve my doing unethical and immoral things with the significant others of my friends and relatives. And I can't make those amends directly or indirectly. The only way I can make those amends is to live up to my ideal from my fourth step sex inventory. What is my future ideal sex life? And as I shared with you last week, is to be in a monogamous relationship. And since I got married 12 years ago, this is the first and only relationship in my life that I haven't cheated on. And you know, and for me, that's big. And that's how I continue to make that amend in the ninth step. 7, 8, 9, that's it. Okay, and when these amends are made, all sorts of wonderful promises are supposed to take place. That's wrong. That's not true. It says we'll be amazed before we are halfway through. Not before we are halfway through step 9. Before we are halfway through the steps, I started getting these promises before I was even done with step 5. All kinds of wonderful promises came through. That's my spin on it. I just like to be positive. I didn't want to wait till step 9 for those promises to take place. But can I borrow your big book for a second? And, you know, I just want to close with this. And, you know, I read those 9-step promises, which are page 84. And I substituted the word alcohol in here. And here's how the 9-step promises sounded, you know. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, I would know a new freedom and a new happiness. And that was true. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, I would not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door upon it. Oh man, you don't know what I did last night! And those cops and the... Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, I would comprehend the word serenity and would know peace. Most people would say Roy has passed out again. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, no matter how far down the scale I'd gone, I will see how my experience can benefit others. Yeah, that's right. I got arrested last week, but if they put you in cell number 3, you know, it's... You, okay. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity would disappear. I was a completely different person. 2 drinks and... Wow, I wanted to do for the world, and there's no more poor me's. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, I'd lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in my fellows. Usually at the bar, want to know everyone's stories. I was like a social worker over there. Really? That happened? Oh, you shouldn't take that lying down. No. And whenever I took a drink of alcohol, self-seeking would slip away. I was like the humblest guy. I knew about humility when I had a drink of alcohol. Sitting there, yeah, no problem. Not when I was doing the steps. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, my whole attitude and outlook upon life would change. You know, I'd pick a fight with the biggest guy, usually when I was down to my last drink and didn't have enough to pay the bill. Then get thrown out. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, fear of people and of economic insecurity would leave me. I'm telling you, I would leave the bar broke, get into a taxi. Fear of economic insecurity, leave me. Stop the poor guy 3 blocks from home, I'll be right out, and then go over a couple of walls. Still making amends for that. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, I will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle me. Intuitively. Oh, this happened? No problem, boss. You know, I was coming here, the tire was flat, the dog ate my homework, or whatever. Intuitively. I would know what lie to tell. I wouldn't remember it the next day, but I would intuitively know. And I suddenly realized that alcohol was doing for me what I could not do for myself. So, if all those things were happening with drinking, and it caused me to be broke and sick and miserable and single and unhappy and full of depression and anxiety. And if I could get all those things by following the steps, I don't need to drink anymore. It's just easier to do the steps. So I want to thank the Lindbrook Group for asking me to speak and for listening. So.